so mad, there's no control.
Ladies and gentlemen, just in case you live under a rock,
I might grab a bat, I don't know, my rap, my blood boils over like, oh god, here goes. I lost all feeling from my head to my toes. You said some shit that I can't let go, so just stay tuned for the rest of the show.
So have you ever felt betrayed? Switches how you see things, realize something needs change. Cause I know you got me fucked up, let me show you what's up. Cause enough is enough. I'll take a face full of pavement just to make a statement. I know there's no turning back. Oh god, adrenaline wasted, so mad I can taste it. I know there's no turning back. I'll do what it takes, I ain't making mistakes like that. I'll bleed on your face just to make you go take it back. I'll lose my shit, I go crazy when I'm mad. And now you're gonna wish you had just a fuck up for your fear.
Shut up.
What is up, wrestling fans? This is the Don of the Watch Along BX Sports Jedi Kev in the SmackDown Report review. I hope everyone's having a good weekend. We are here to review Friday Night SmackDown. Friday Night SmackDown. It's on Seattle, Washington, the great state of Seattle, Washington. We kick off that program. Of course, we saw what happened in the Clash of the Castles and kind of not a rematch, but a little bit of an introduction with, of course, they're letting us know about the return of Braun Strowman. And we're going to have a fatal five-way for the number one contender. But the first one that I wanted to talk about is the Brawling Brutes taking on Imperial. So we see that the WWE is bringing Imperial. We saw it on Clash of the Castles. The reintroduction or the call-up of Giovanni Da Vinci and with Gunther and Ludwig Kaiser taking on the Brawling Brutes. Sheamus is so over right now in the WWE. It was a real good match. I'm going to break it down here in a minute. And, of course, you start off with, you know, one of the best heels right now, I believe, is this fashion, is Gunther, as well as Sheamus. You know, Sheamus is not quite a face, so there's a little bit of back and forth. I love the way it kicked off the crowd, the Celtic Warrior with Butch, Ridge Holland. And, man, what a match. It was a high-flying or quick-paced brute match between these six-man tag, the brawl, the action broke down, despite appearing to have a knee injury, Ludwig Kaiser, but it showed later in the match he didn't. You saw the emergence of not just Giovanni Da Vinci, but Ludwig Kaiser possibly teasing us as a tag team down the road. You know, maybe they're going to be vying for a tag team gold, the way they're camaraderie in the ring. Also, you want to see Pete Dunne, a.k.a. Butch, looked really good in the ring there, just attacking the fingers of the ring general, all those different moments. You see, what a good match. The crowd, I'm going to say again, we've killed the crowd other venues, like in Pittsburgh and Houston. But last night, the crowd in Seattle, they looked like they were hungry and they wanted wrestling, you know, the sports entertainment wrestling in their arena. And boy, did it show with that opening match. The crowd wanted to come near what Cardiff was, but they were loud. They were invested. You saw with as Sheamus brawled with Gunther on the floor. The only one negative that I'm going to have that had a little bit of an issue was when you finally get Sheamus in the ring one-on-one with Gunther. We saw it on Clash of Castle, but when you're seeing it here last night on free TV, you're ready, you're invested, and then they go to the commercial break. I understand they have to pay the bills. I understand they need commercial breaks. That's where the revenues and the money comes in. And I even liked it, you know, I'd rather have it sometimes in the picture-in-picture. But that exact moment, you lost a little bit there by going to the commercial break. It's understandable. But then when you return from the commercial break, we didn't even see a follow-up while you were in the commercial break. You know, what happened with this stare-down? You come in, you had two different participants, two different talent in the ring going at it, and you lost a little bit of your essence. So, whoa, what have happened in this match? So it is weird that we didn't see that there, but no, man, the match was good. You know, Sheamus got a big pop on the hot tag, and he was explosive. Once again, for the opening match, you get Imperial gets the victory on the Brawling Brutes. What a way to start this match. What a way to start the event, the SmackDown card on Fox TV for not only your hardcore, but your casuals. You know, who are these guys? Who is this Imperial? You know, everyone knows Sheamus. And you see, Sheamus has a group now. And who are they facing this? And the way they present Gunther, this larger-than-life character with those nasty chops. You know, there was a time when he broke a pin on Holland and he just chopped him. Instead of in his neck, he chopped him in the back of the head. And you hear that, and my God, that was vicious. You know, they're presenting Gunther here, larger-than-life persona, as the Intercontinental Champion. And I love how they're elevating Imperial as a whole, as a group. They look like, whoa, they're going to be a force to reckon it in the near future from now, you know, from the near future and the current right now, because they are Intercontinental Champions now. Could they be viable for a tag team? We shall see with that. But all in all, Imperial gets the victory on the Brawling Brutes. Brawling Brutes did not lose their heat either. I think Pete Dunne, a.k.a. Butch, came out looking like a real tough SOB, a badass, in my opinion. I really enjoy his presentation now under Triple H leadership. You know, he's still a little bit that flaring loose cannon, but seeing him in the ring with Gunther and with the rest of Imperial, of course, familiar foes, you could tell that all six men had good chemistry in the ring. You could feel the vibe. They got the crowd on their feet. And from there on, I think it set the tone for the whole SmackDown card, because the SmackDown card tonight, as we're going to review it, it's going to be more and more and more good, positive. It's like it's going to be a card that for the next 2 hours on national television, it was very, very extremely entertaining. And we're going to continue going, breaking on to the next match. After that, we have a promo with the Undisputed Tag Champions, the Usos and Sami Zayn. They hit the ring and they introduced to us the newest member of the Bloodline, their younger twin brother. We all know him from the NXT days. We all know him from NXT not so long ago. It's the so-called street champion, their younger brother, Solo Sikoa. Solo Sikoa comes out and joins the Bloodline. He was talking about, if you threaten my family, I am a vicious man, and you don't threaten my family, I will come after you. And pretty much explaining why he was at the Card of Wales to watch Roman Reigns back. And of course, it set up a different various storyline. You saw Sami Zayn involved, you know, trying to introduce, and you see there's a dissension or a little rip between Jimmy and Sami, you know, and you can see now Solo Sikoa comes out, you know, the younger brother, you know, that it's coming here and they're getting him going. And one thing Corey Graves mentioned on the broadcast, if you listen to, he kept mentioning, saying the Usos are about 6 to 8 years apart in age from Solo. They're really roaring around. They're like a distant brothers and brothers, sibling, distant. And I'm like, why did he mention that tad bit? Keep that in mind. Keep that in your ear or in your back pocket, because he is named Solo. Solo by himself, Sokola. I'm not saying there's any dissension or anything. If they wanted to go to that or they're teased that, remember this day on the stream when he made his debut, Corey Graves kind of gave a little nugget. Just keep that in your back pocket about Solo Sikoa. I'm still thinking, he, of course, they embrace him. You get him cut that promo on the promo. It wasn't a bad promo from the street. Solo Sikoa, of course, we, myself, and all the other guys that joined me from the NXT group, we all seen Solo Sikoa. We've seen how deep he works. He is a really good wrestler, good performer. Very proud to see him being involved here in this storyline. And of course, later on, we get an interruption from Drew McIntyre himself. McIntyre comes out looking to for revenge in the process. And we get a setup for a main event between Solo Sikoa and Drew McIntyre. Boy, talk about making your big splash when you come to the main roster, your first match. Wow, Drew McIntyre. I'm like, all right, Solo, good thing. I was like, I'm really excited to see Solo Sikoa, you know, seeing him up person personal and watching him in NXT on every week, to get to see him now. It's like a proud moment, you know, and you see Drew McIntyre not thank God, let go of the sword. He came with a steel chair, something that you could really use, especially when you have, you know, you're outnumbered. He comes on his way to the ring, but I noticed the Usos left the ring. Sammy wanted to stay, but they pulled him out, and they left Solo alone with Drew. And, of course, he took some bumps. Drew ready to unload the chair shot on the street champion, and Sami Zayn intervenes and took the chair shot for Solo Sikoa. Now, Sammy trying to endear himself, getting in there, endearing himself. Remember what he said in that promo to Roman Reigns? Oh, I'd like to get in there and weasel my way and infiltrate so I could plant my seed. And Roman opened up his eyebrows. So just keep an eye on that. Remember that, those promos. Remember Triple H, whenever you watch now WWE, there's always meaning to every promo, every backstage. There's something that he always remembers, and he checks the box, and he bring it back. It's not like the old regime. You know, oh, it was just a promo. You move on. There's some little nuggets and little tidbits. I'm just telling you guys, keep an eye. Observe. King Slayer is in the building. What's up, King Slayer? So remember those little tidbits when it comes to the WWE going forward. So we set that up for later on in the evening. It is so it's going to be Solo Sikoa and Drew McIntyre. I'm invested. I can't wait to see that. I want to see more of that. Of course, you know, how Sami Zayn and the rest of the Bloodline is going to get involved. We move on next to the next part of the card, and it's going to be a match that caught me by surprise, because WWE did not announce that many matches this evening, and they gave us a match here, a non-title. But one thing I was asking my wife when we were watching, said, is this a title match? I didn't see the emphasis on non-title, Aaliyah and Raquel versus Toxic Attraction. Now, why did it say a non-title if they've just been crowned the world champions? They did go out of their way to let us know on Monday Night Raw that Aaliyah and Raquel are fighting Damage Control in Dakota Kai and Neo Sky for the women's tag team champion. So it was interesting. It was interesting to note, why did they not tell us it was a non-title, as we say hello to aka to King Slayer, aka the Solo Sikoa guys. So salute. And of course, us being, again, we saw Toxic Attraction come out. We saw that they were supposed to face this team back in the tournament. Of course, due to the Gigi Dolan's injury, it was originally scheduled for the semifinal tag team tournament. And the non-title match was a little weird there. But it's always good to see GT Dolan and Jace Jane finally taking place on Friday night. The match, you saw Toxic Attraction control majority of the match, working over the smaller Aaliyah, you know, and of course they were trying to prevent her from getting that hot tag to Raquel. But then Raquel gets in, she turns the tide back and forth in the champion's favor. Rodriguez dominate Jane. And of course you saw in a part where Toxic Attraction had a double team, was about to double suplex Raquel Rodriguez. One thing I was very impressed was the spear that Aaliyah came out of and hit Gigi Dolan, knocked her out of the ring, allowed that moment for Raquel Rodriguez to finish, do her finishing move, do her Tejada bomb for the victory, and she gets the win. And Aaliyah and Raquel Rodriguez beats Toxic Attraction. Now, if you guys were going to have Toxic Attraction lose on a Friday Night SmackDown, should have made it a title match. If there was the booking of Toxic Attraction losing, make it a title match. Let them defend their title. Let Toxic Attraction have a chance at capturing the gold. And if it was a non-title match, in my opinion, they should have Toxic Attraction win here by hook or crook. Set up that storyline, because I believe that there's going to be a storyline between Raquel and Aaliyah going forward. More and more, it's looking like Aaliyah is going to have a heel turn on Raquel Rodriguez. Although you could easily say Raquel could be the heel and just gets fed up of Aaliyah riding her coattails. You know, riding her coattails, hiding behind her, using her. And definitely, of course, Solo Sikoa says, acknowledge Roman Reigns and the Usos. And Solo Sikoa, indeed. Everyone is twos and they're the ones. So we get back into the program here. Toxic Attraction. And what I looked at, I said, could it be like not a punishment, but you go on national TV, you lose this match for Jace takes the pin? Because remember on NXT Tuesday, you had Doudrop and Nikki Ash at the Performance Center where Jace kicked Doudrop in the nose, made her bleed. A little bit of an unsafe work. Maybe this is a way of just National TV being embarrassed. I don't know. Who knows? I doubt it. I just think that Toxic Attraction is ready for the main roster. They're ready to bring them up. Their match was not a bad match. It wasn't one of the, oh my God, phenomenal matches. They did their thing. They fought well. They did a good job of performance. No botches. Just, again, Gigi might want to just slim a little more to get more in-ring speed and quickness. Just look a little thick, you know, especially in the kibbutz area, for her to get in and out of those tags. But I enjoy Toxic. You know, everyone knows Toxic Attraction fan. Want to see if they're going to stay in the main roster. What happens here with Mandy Rose? If Toxic does get elevated to the main roster, we shall see with that. We shall see what happens here. What's actually what happens on Monday Night Raw when the ladies, the champion, Aaliyah and Raquel, take on, of course, Damage Control. Now, one thing I had to see about the end of the match is Aaliyah trolling Toxic Attraction with the machine gun, with the title belt. That is a Toxic Attraction staple. Whenever they arrive to the ring, especially their two-times women tag team, NXT tag team champions, that's their stick with the belt. They machine gun around, and of course, Aaliyah's trolling. So let's see if Toxic Attraction interferes on Monday Night Raw to try to take that and cause Aaliyah and Raquel a loss, which I doubt it. But I think they will be back Tuesday in the Performance Center of Toxic Attraction. So I don't believe they'll stay. Of course, Monday Night Raw is coming out of Portland, Oregon. So that's kind of a real long red-eye flight if they were to do a flight from Portland back to Orlando for the performance to record. So I think this is a Friday night SmackDown thing. And I think they will be back, just at least back to NXT on Tuesday. So they might be in flight now when we're speaking about, or maybe on Sunday, you know, Sunday for Toxic Attraction. But we shall see going forward. And then we come back and we get back in. We get a video package. The interaction between Adam Pearce and Ronda Rousey last week. And before, Michael Cole announces there has been discipline dealt behind closed doors and will not be made public. Now, this here, why am I highlighting this? The reason why I'm highlighting this and speaking about this is because we all know what's happening in AEW with the internal investigations and all the backstage brawl and incidents. This is the WWE, Triple H and regime making a troll job, making a troll at AEW, taking a jab at what's going on, exactly what they said there. It's a troll against your competition without saying their names. We all saw the MJF promo on Dynamite when he mentioned the American Roller Coaster, Cody Rhodes, his hero, the game. And of course, this is them back and forth. This is what they do. This was a great promo going forward. And we shall see there with what's going on. We know that they're going to be, and that leads us to the next segment, is the Fatal 5-Way Elimination Match between Natalya, Lacey Evans, Xia Li, Ronda Rousey, and Sonya Deville. This match here is a Fatal 5-Way. The winner become number one contender to Liv Morgan and Extreme Rules. Now, everybody and their mother knows that this match was catered to protect and to make her look strong, because here's what you do. You take Ronda Rousey, pretty much wins this match. You could say she eliminated the number one contenders in one match. You could pretty much say there. We saw Ronda Rousey made Natalya tap out. Also had Lacey Evans tap out. Of course, Sonya Deville herself held their own ground. Looked totally badass. Making Xia Li tap out. She really would have I would have liked to see Sonya Deville and Rousey go another 5 minutes in this match, one-on-one. And just where Sonya Deville loses, I think Sonya Deville needs a push. I really think after this program, it's over between Rousey and Liv. Who, no matter who wins in that outcome, we need a Sonya Deville push in the women's division. I'm in, at least for SmackDown, in my opinion. I think she should be next in line if Liv decides to retain, or if the WWE decides to keep Liv retaining her title. I think it should be Sonya Deville just going forward. And we shall see what happens, though. We get Rousey, wins the Fatal 5-Way. She is now declared the number one contender. We'll take on, of course, Liv Morgan had her own private suite up in the stands, and she was watching on the match, eating some popcorn. And of course, at the end of the match, you see Rousey gets in the corner, points up to where she's at, and she wants her title. And Liv, come on, bring it. I love that exchange. I love that build up and letting us know that they are coming for each other. So it'd be interesting to see them. While they go to commercial break, they return. We see a backstage promo with Ronda Rousey reconnecting with Shayna Baszler after a brief back and forth. And she congratulates us and wishes her luck on her title as number one contender to take on Liv Morgan. And she says, luck? I don't need luck. I got this. And then she pretty much hinted to the Queen of Spades when she's ready to break bones again, to give her a call, contact her, because that's when she really wants to give her time. So you could go many ways there with that. You could take it as maybe Shayna Baszler and Ronda Rousey is the next feud. If Ronda somehow beats Liv, that could be a title match. Or it could be where Shayna Baszler might help or interfere in a Liv match, getting Liv the victory over Rousey, set up that feud. Or you could think that if Rousey fails, you could see a tag team forming of Shayna Baszler and Roddy and Ronda Rousey, Roddy Rousey. And they could go on a tag team, go at it and be the next two to team up under her two to just try to win. So it'll be interesting storyline within storyline, which direction Triple H and the WWE heads there. Maybe they want to give a long title run for Liv Morgan. We shall see. So we move on here to the next part of the card. And the next part, which was a pretty fun one, if you ask me, though. It's the Street Profits, along with Hit Row, taking on the Maximum Male Models and Los Lotarios. Now, this match here, eight-man tag, had a little bit of everything. You know, we saw Hit Row come out to their music. Then, of course, you get the Street Profits. And we know that coming up Monday, the Street Profits are going to be again in a fatal four-way for number one contendership. They tried that on Monday Night Raw. They were interrupted by a certain someone we'll mention soon. And, of course, we have this match kick off, a pretty good match back and forth. We finally see more in-ring with Mansoor. And we get to see now Hit Row as well. Even though in the six-man, it was a really good high-energy match. It was non-stop action. A lot of highlights with the baby faces, but also reminding us, the audience, that the Maximum Model have a lot of flamboyance and personality and talented wrestlers as well. So, you know, Mace and Mansoor looked like they had the victory in hand with a roll up on Top Dollar, but there was a little bit of distraction. The big man kicked out, near falls, of course, the tag. Of course, Dawkins, again, Andrew Dawkins, week after week, I mentioned it on this podcast. He tends to get better and better. Also, leaning down a little bit. You could see him leaning down a little more, working hard on cutting his body. You know, that guy, and it helps him with that in-ring ability to move. You know, of course, the hot tags are always phenomenal, always gets the crowd excited. And, of course, you see, we thought that Top Dollar was going to do a rollout to the ring on the outside, and Maxine Dupri stopped it and did not allow him to do that role. I was like, okay, big man's gonna fly, let's go. I was invested in that. But of course, Dawkins was the one that was soaring over the ropes. And of course, I love this match. The victory, we get a victory and a pin. Hit Row and the Street Profits beat the Lotarios and the Maximal Model. It was a good, fun match. You know, I'm still not feeling the Hit Row persona, not too much, but this match was fun. If they're going to have this type of match and this type of chemistry and the action, hey, it wasn't boring. It was actually a good match. So we shall see what happens with Hit Row. We shall see what happens with the tag team fatal four-way to determine the number one contenders. Who is going to face the Usos next? We don't know. We still have some unfinished business that will be taken care of Monday Night Raw. Speaking of Monday Night Raw, get a visit from Alpha Academy for Monday Night Raw. Rare appearance on the Brew Blend. We see Chad Gable and Otis coming out. Not only that, they got some great heat making fun of the crowd, talking about professionals. Oh, they don't know what a professional team looks like because they lost their professional team in the Seattle Seahawks. That caught a big pop, a big buzz from the crowd. And of course, you know, every week after week, Chad Gable on the mic, phenomenal job. You know, just getting the right proper heat with the shoosh, the thank you, and also the mannerisms that he just classic heel. And I enjoy, you know, seeing and hearing Chad Gable's cut promo. I love when he says, look at that face in Otis, and he gives him that kiss on the cheek, and Otis, you know, he jumps in. You know, they're a comedy act, but with heat, with good heat, and just put the comedy aside, Chad Gable is a really good technical wrestler. I'm hoping that he gets a push here. You know, enough. He did enough of the comedy. He paid his dues with the comedy and putting all their talents over. I think now it's time for Alpha Academy to start getting over themselves. At least Chad Gable, they need to get him on a run. They need him to get him on a projected program where he's now no longer a jobber, but now it's time to take him serious. Start winning some matches by hook or crook and get him going, because I really enjoy seeing, but it's going to get to a point where it's going to get stale, labeled, and boring if he's always getting squashed. Speaking of squash, you know, here comes Braun Strowman. Braun Strowman comes out there. Of course, the monster comes out and he just annihilates the big man. You know, what a monster. First, he takes rid of Strowman. It gets rid of Gable. And then he power bombs the big tree trunk Otis. Of course, introducing us, the talent, everyone, that Braun Strowman, the monster, is back. Like, not just power bombing. Before that, he had a video package of him, of his destruction. And of course, it looks like Braun Strowman is here for that Universal title. He is laying out bodies, taking names, and boy. And I hope this resurgence of Braun Strowman in WWE, I hope it goes extremely well. They keep him at the big badass, the big obstacle that he is, coming in and squashing it and destroying other performers' talent while still keeping that heat. I think I'm going to like this Braun Strowman going forward here in the WWE. His return, I think, you know, they're in the right hands and the right feuds. Let's hope that they continue to bring the right feuds here. It looks like it's going to be Strowman. I personally think Strowman will be going after one of the monsters, the former monsters in Omos, or, you know, you're not doing nothing with Veer Mahan. That's another one there. You know, get something going on with Veer, Omos. Let them go, you know, where they're trying to go after Strowman, who's the big guy here. You know, we shall see. You know, you also got Jinder Mahal, Shanky. You know, give me something. You know, they're not being used. We're talking about the height, that monsterness. You know, give us something there. You know, but I wish they would not. I wish they would build up these other guys. Then you bring Braun in. Then you're like, ooh, you got something. So we shall see how they go forward. So it was a typical stream roll. We get to the main event of SmackDown. Drew McIntyre taking on Solo Sikoa. Solo Sikoa making his Fox and SmackDown debut in a match where the Street Champ really looked well. I was very impressed him against the Scottish Warrior. Of course, Solo Sikoa had cut a promo prior to that in the back, you know, where we saw Solo Sikoa and we saw Sami Zayn. There was an interaction where Solo Sikoa, you saw Jim Jay was like, no, you don't need anyone's help. But then Solo says, if I need anyone's help, I will, you know what? I will call on you, Sami Zayn. Sami Zayn, oh my God, he got like a kid in Christmas. His eyes opened up. He was excited. And then Jimmy says, you know what? We're all going to go and support you. So looks like Jimmy was trying to call the shots there and still trying to call a shot on the bloodline there, where you could see this showing a little bit of dissension. If you look at it between the lines, Roman's not there. Jimmy wants to be the boss, but he's cranky, growl, fighting with Sami Zayn, a little bit dissension. Solo Sikoa, you know, kind of, oh, Sami, you're my only, you know, I trust you. I could dig you. It seems like there's a little bit, you could see there's a little bit of the surgeon in that group starting to form. just keep an eye on that, like I always tell you guys, on that for later down the road. And then, of course, we get the match. Boy, you know, really good back and forth match there. You see where, when you see Drew McIntyre has hit with a with the Claymore Kliss. It was up and Solo falls out of the ring. You see the distraction from the Bloodline, from the Usos and Sami Zayn. You know, and of course, Sami Zayn tries to get an interference. He gets caught. And all of a sudden, when you think Solo Sikoa hits him with a nice one of his super kicks, you know, and of course, you see a lot of Umanga in Solo Sikoa. His wrestling style is kind of Umanga-ish. If you want to see, you know, who does he fall under? If you remember the great Umanga, Solo Sikoa wrestles similar to him with the punches, with the Samoan drop, with the running into the hip cross into the turnbuckle, and of course near fall there for Solo Sikoa, where finally we get a work on the outside of the ring, where Solo, of course, he gets thrown over and the referee gets distracted by Sami Zayn. Out come Killian Cross, and he chokes out McIntyre, where in a scene that looks really badass, as SmackDown comes to a finish, is in black and white. You see he's choking out Drew McIntyre, and as he's supposed to be fading to sleep, the camera angle in the SmackDown fades away, and the show ends. It closes with the screen turning black and white when Karrion Kross arrives and shows it fading into the black. All in all, last night, I want to say that SmackDown was a very, very, very good show. I'm very entertaining. Remember, this is free TV. This is for casuals to want to watch this wrestling. It is not for the hardcore. It although they had matches that had enough of a program for the hardcores, like the Brawling Brutes taking on Imperial. You know, you had also introducing new characters. You were setting up and telling a new storyline on what they're doing in the near future. All in all, I think SmackDown had a little bit of everything for everyone. 2 hours of very entertaining wrestling on a Friday night. And of course, WWE continues to excel, especially on the SmackDown portion, bringing us new characters, new matches, and the matches that are exciting, hard pace. That Hit Row 8-man tag with the Street Profits, that was another good match. You know, you could have said, this is a throwaway match. I'm not feeling, you know, I was one that wasn't feeling Hit Row. And there might be sometimes, and maybe when they're on their own, maybe they might not. But this match, I'm going to say I was pleasantly surprised with that 8-man tag. You know, they put the couple of groups here because the Lotharios are not doing nothing in the WWE. They're a comedy tag team. So is the Maximil Models with, you know, not taking serious, maybe a gimmick that's like, ugh. And you have Hit Row who just returned and certain people don't remember them. And you're like, who are these? You know, this is, you know, not feeling them as well. But you had the Street Profits where everyone loves the Street Profits. But what I think won me over in that match was their in-ring abilities on all 8 participants, especially, you know, Top Dollar. For a big man, his way he moves was very impressive, especially, of course, Dawkins. So there's a little bit of everything there. Nothing there was a little bit of a yawn. The only thing that was a little bit of a puzzling one was that non-titled women tag team match with Toxic Attraction. Of course, we know we're a big Toxic Attraction fan, but, you know, what was the purpose of them having a non-title and lose? You know, that's all. That's a, you know, we'll see. Hopefully down the road, we'll see a storyline develop with that. Maybe that might have been the weakest match of the card. But all in all, it was a really good card because when Toxic Music came out, I was like, oh, they're here. Excited to see them on the card. They're, I'm going to say a hot take. I don't think, me personally, I was invested in the women tag team champions in Aaliyah and Raquel. I was like, okay, I see a story here. Raquel's going to carry. They're going to be opportunistic. But we all know that Aaliyah and Raquel are placeholders champions anyway. They're just placeholder tag team champions. And where does it go there? I don't know. That range is going to come to an end pretty soon. Would it be against Damage Control? Everyone thinks it might be this Monday night. I won't, you know, because especially they emphasize for the women's tag titles. Maybe, because we saw certain tag team with Titus O'Neil in Yankee Stadium, where in the Boston Globe, Naomi and Sasha was with Titus O'Neil and Bayley, out of all people, in Madison, in Yankee Stadium. They caught a game two nights ago. Pictures all over social media. You could see that. Fans, weird fans, Titus O'Neil. Remember, he's the brand ambassador of the WWE. All the relationships with WWE is smooth, and Sasha are smooth over. They are on the roster internally. And it's any day now when they make their re-debut. I'm not saying they're being re-debut on Monday Night Raw, but I am saying that they will be back in the WWE in some way, some post, in some capacity. So a lot of people say maybe Royal Rumble or Extreme Rules. You never know. But if it's fitting, won't be surprised if Damage Control gets the women tag team titles and they start defending it for a while, and then you bring the Boston Globe. Maybe, you know, remember, me personally, if I am the executive of the WWE or part of the creative or part of the team, I'm looking to bring Naomi and Sasha back at the Survivor Series. It is in Boston. It is Sasha's home city. And, of course, where she, you know, where she was, you know, raised in, born and raised in Boston. I would do that. Get the big pop with the hometown crowd. You bring them back. I don't see WWE doing any programs in for at least the main roster wise in Florida for a while. I didn't see anything on the schedule. So to bring in before Boston, so I believe it'll be, that's your best place, you know, because my Naomi is from Orlando, Florida as well. So that's why I said Florida, because maybe Florida where she's home in Orlando, they're not going to be here for a few months. So that's where I say Survivor Series. That's my opinion. But all in all, that was a pretty good show for SmackDown. Is it worthy to watch again? It is. I will watch. I actually did watch it again before I came on, just to rehash and write my notes. It was a real good program. So that is the Raw report. We'll get into AEW Rampage. We get the Rampage kick off. You have, of course, a lot of backstage stuff with AEW, of course, with the Kenny Omega, the Young Bucks, you know, that whole situation with CM Punk. And this Rampage, of course, it is a tape show, and it starts off with a match for that vacant heavyweight title. And it's Sammy Guevara taking on Darby Allin in a match here where you like to see, because you got two AEW originals in Darby Allin and Sammy Guevara in this tournament. And I go, okay, you put them together. You could have put them separate and give us this match in the semifinals would have been, or next round would have been nice, but it didn't happen. All in all, you saw Darby Allin try to go for some high risk maneuvers here. You saw Sammy Guevara try to hit a Three Amigos. He got two, and when he was going to go for the third one, Darby Allin started kicking. And, of course, it led to the suplex over the top. They kept on, held on. They went over the rope. And Darby Allin on the floor suplexed Sammy Guevara in a reversal. That was really nice. You know, really good in-ring performance. Also, you saw Tope Saucita dive from Darby Allin, where Sammy Guevara pushed his wife, Ty Mello, or Ty Conti, whatever she's called these days, and he hit him with a diamond cutter. It was really nice to see that on the floor. Also, you saw some great moments. You saw Darby Allin working on Sammy Guevara's fingers on the submission hold, where he took his ring off, his wedding ring. And of course, you saw Ty get on the ring, on the apron. Sammy hit him with a vicious knee, and he put his ring back on. Of course, Jericho on commentary. That's where he really needs to belong. Hopefully, his wrestling career comes to a conclusion, and he gets on that commentary, because he is really good at the commentary for Jericho. You see that Sammy Guevara tried to tease, trying to do a coffin drop on Darby Allin. He misses. Now you have a distraction here. Anna Jade comes down to the ring, distracts the referee, Rand Renfro, who is easily distracted. He's having a conversation while now the skateboard comes into play with Darby Allin. And, of course, Sammy Guevara, superplex him right into the skateboard. They get the skateboard out of the ring. Sammy Guevara gets the victory. He will move on. So Sammy Guevara beats Darby Allin in the first match. To me, that was next to the match of the night. I know you could debate with the main event and this match. There's a lot of debate with that. We can have that debate. We shall see. After this match is over, we get Samoa Joe comes out. Before Samoa Joe comes out to cut his promo, they show us the promo of MJF, but it was super duper edited from when he came in the ring. It was edited from, he just mentioned that he wants to win the title for a bargaining chip in the summer for the 2024 contract extension. Didn't mention all the WWE stuff. They just cut it. They heavily cut it and edited it. And then when we come back, you get Samoa Joe finally comes back out, says that he owes them some fights. He's been away for too long. Of course, he wanted to say, hey, my name is Samoa Joe, you know. And then Mark Sterling interrupts. Mark Sterling interrupts and asks for a title shot for Josh Woods, who was the former Pure champion. And Joe agrees. Joe says, let's do this right now. And of course, typical heel fashion, Mark Sterling says, no, we'll do that next week here. And it's set up for next week. It is the chance Josh Woods taking on Samoa Joe for the ROH TV title. So yes, the ROH is still a thing in AEW, and those titles, those novelty titles are a real thing. We move on to the next match. It is the Divas match or ladies match, in a match where I think this hurt it. The main event was Serena Deeb taking on Madison Rayne. This is a match of the two ladies. We know these two ladies are coaches in AEW. For wrestling, boy, when you talk about a cool down spot, a non-invested, it hurt it, the women's division. This is the match that they put on. And that's the spot to really put it. But again, I mentioned it time and time again, with so many talented ladies in AEW, they put this match on. There are so many that they could have put here. And these ladies, was a good wrestling match. I'm not going to lie. It was a good wrestling match. Hard hitting. But man, the crowd was not invested. No build up. No hype. Serena Deeb just kept getting into Madison Rayne. This is my mind. You want to be a coach here. You want to be a coach here. I was here first. And Serena Deeb wins with a vicious clothesline. She looked like the heel in this. Madison Rayne has come in and lost two matches. You know, I don't know what the storyline, where they're going with it, because we have seen Serena D fight for the women's title, came up short. We saw her complaining to Goldust, or aka Dustin Rhodes, cut a promo. I don't know where it comes to Serena D, it's head scratching. What do you want to do with this lady? You know, it's. And Madison Rayne, now that they made a big deal bringing the former NWA Women's Champion in, what did they do? I don't. This is in a. We're just gonna have two ladies. I need you to filler. Go out there, you know, give us something with a storyline, with a purpose, with a meaning. I have no idea what we get out of this. Give me something for another. They should have showcased, in my opinion, a number one contender for the TNT Women's Title. Give me someone that you're gonna, you know, get a shot that, you know, possibly could beat a Jade Carr heel. You know, maybe Serena Deeb, you know, that was a little vicious. Say, you know, I got the experience. I'm going to beat that. You know, after the match, you beat Madison Rayne, get in the camera and call out a Jade Carr heel. You know, I've been in the ring. I'm going to teach your wet behind the ears rear end a lesson, something. But it was just like, you know, okay, you know, main event is coming up, and all right, let's get ready. And I think it hurt the main event. I think that hurt the main event, the Claudio Castagnoli versus Dax Harwood. In any other time, other than this being your main event, this would have been a banger match. And it was a good match. It was a very good match, solid match, very good technical wrestling match between Claudio Castagnoli and Dax Harwood, especially the promos. You know, Regal mentioned that he hired Dax Harwood many years ago. That's in the NXT days when Regal was the general manager of the NXT Black and Gold brand. Of course, that's when Dax Harwood, when he was on the Revival, of course, with his partner, was part of there. And Dax Harwood said he's going to fight. Even if he has to, you know, he does this for a living, he's going to keep wrestling and doing the best he can and winning. And his promo made it seem like Dax Harwood was going to walk out there with three titles, you know, or four, whatever how many he has. He was going to be Claudio Castagnoli for that Ring of Honor championship. And, you know, and Claudio says, I don't think so. But Dax says, I'm probably not going to beat you. I'm like, why are you saying that? You know, you go out there and make us believe that you're going to win this title. win this, of course, we all know Cardio wasn't going to drop this title. That was going to, you know, Bruno, it was a solid, very good match. Even though we knew, predetermined and knew the outcome of this match, that it was going to be a Claudio Castagnoli victory. He gets it. Some attempts on the sharpshooter for both guys. The sharpshooter, boy, please stop it. Please, you guys are doing that a disservice to that move. You know, please don't do that. I'd rather you do the figure four, because that's only one way really of doing it. When you do this, when you do a sharpshooter and you're laying down and it's your flat, please don't do the shaker. Don't do the sharpshooter. We get Claudio Castagnoli winning this match in a good match. You know, of the respect at the end of the match, they shook hands. That's Ring of Honor type of match. That was a Ring of Honor match. I don't know if the AEW TV crowd or the casuals want to see that on AEW. They want to see that hardcore. They want to see, you know, moonsaults. They want to see sports entertaining. That was a really good match. I'm sorry. That was a really good match. And another disservice was done by the crowd. The crowd was very uninventful, wasn't excited, wasn't enthusiastic to see that. They were very monotone. They looked like they've been in arena for over 4 hours and they just want to go home. Get this show over. We respect you guys. We wanted to know what the hell was going on backstage. We wanted to hear MJF. We wanted to know what's going to happen with the titles and the Bucks and the six men, the trios. But please end the show because we're hungry. And that's what the crowd showed. I don't think they must have stopped selling alcohol or beer because they were snooze. They were a bore fest. And that's a shame because these two guys put on a hell of a match. Both Cardio and Dax put on a hell of a match. They should have gotten a standing ovation of claps, and it should have gotten, you know, awesome, awesome. This was awesome chance, nada. So I'm very disappointed. If I had to choose both shows tonight, SmackDown hands on. I hate to say it because they went, oh, you're tribal. No, when you have a crowd that's invested from the opening match, when you know you want to tell me which match on this card, even the Claudio and Dax match with the crowd. The fast pace, Imperial versus the Brawling Brutes. You tell me that was a greater match than Cardio and Daxworth. I'm going to tell you, you're wrong. I'm going to disagree with you and go up and down. So with that, I think SmackDown takes this Friday night victory tonight, because it just with that, the Solo Sikoa, you know, his first match against Drew McIntyre, you know, despite the fact of all the interference, that was phenomenal. That was really good back and forth. You know, the eight-man tag, you know, could just rival the Darby Allin and Sammy Guevara. That was a good match too. Don't get me wrong. It's a really close neck and neck, but I got to give the edge to SmackDown with their more in ring. You know, you could even compare the heck. You could even go with the Fatal 4-Way, the woman much better than Serena Deeb and Manasi Ray. There you had pinfalls. You had submission. You know. So all in all, I got to give it to SmackDown. But I enjoyed it. It's giving me 3 hours of wrestling from two different companies. And it's not about choosing sides either. It's enjoying wrestling. I enjoyed it. Was I entertained for 3 hours? Absolutely. It was an entertaining 3 hours of wrestling. You can't go wrong with that. And you just, right now, WWE has an edge. They have an edge in their shows, in their programming. It's not, you know, all the negativity that I heard months ago. You got nothing negative really much to say about the SmackDown or Raw right now. You know, they're giving you fresh new blood. They're giving you not only new wrestlers from outside of the company, former NXT wrestlers, plus they're elevating their own NXT wrestlers into the main roster. They're injecting youth. They're injecting new storylines. They're injecting new talent that we haven't seen in WWE. You know, not just a recycle has been from another organization into the, you know, you could repackage and put in any other older or recycled wrestler. Yes, but they're doing it with their youth, their talent, and guys that were successful that bring it night in, night out. And I like what's going on, you know, and I hope AEW helps itself, because when both organizations are good, it's good for wrestling. It's good for the competition. Oh, we need to rise to the top, because if not, we're going to lose this demographic. We're going to lose this audience. So for AEW, we don't know what's going on. We don't know that the Bucks, Kenny Omega, a lot of people, CM Punk, Ace Steel, a lot of people have been suspended. We don't know who's fired, who's not fired. We know that Aleister Black aka Malakai Black, is no longer with the company. In fact, I got a little bit of news notes. He was today in Orlando, Florida, in my hometown. He was in Discovery Cove. He was in Discovery Cove relaxing with his wife. They were, you know, underneath, you know, in SeaWorld. In Discovery Cove is where you get to swim with the dolphins, relax, have your oasis. He was having a nice time relaxing with his wife in Orlando, Florida, Discovery Cove. So you can fact check it. I am not lying or not making this up. He was here in Orlando, Florida. Now, Orlando, Florida is the home of the Performance Center. I'm not saying he has a 6 months non-compete clause. He cannot show up on a TV for the WWE for 6 months. So don't tell me, don't say, oh, he, you know, I said he's going to be in Raw Monday night. He's going to be on Monday night. No, he cannot be in the WWE for 6 months. But can he be near the performance? His wife still works for the WWE. She could have access to the Performance Center. And he's a good husband who's going to drive his wife to work. That's all I got to say with that, folks. So he is in Orlando. So he is here. Also, AEW Dark and Evolution is recorded in Orlando too. He is still an employee for AEW. He could still go to those facilities. So see both sides of the coin there. I'm just letting you know there. So if it's Malakai Black, let him get disconnected from the wrestling business. Now, there's also been reports that the Young Bucks have sent out feelers to the WWE and Kenny Omega, see if there's any interest in bringing the Bucks and Omega to the World Wrestling Entertainment. That is not a shocker. That's expected. If you're the Bucks, if you're the Elite and you're suspended and your contract, you know, they extended their contract in 2024. But with this situation going on with this investigation, they could be fired. Now they have to do the due diligence. If they find out in this report that they were at corporate, they also went above and beyond to deserve getting fired or terminated, they need to find employment. We know the Bucks get employed immediately. You know, they could go to New Japan immediately, but we don't know if the New Japan, what kind of relationship New Japan and AEW has, where they could be blackballed, saying, you know, don't sign them because they need to get punished for at least 3 months, you know, for costing me millions of dollars with this backstage brawl, you know, for Tony Khan. You'll never know. I'm just saying things happen. People get blackballed. But if the Bucks get signed by the WWE, that's interesting to see Matt Jackson, you know, Mark and Matt Jackson in the WWE taking on the Usos. You know, everybody wants to see that, you know, going forward. Kenny Omega as well. Kenny Omega, AJ Styles matchup, my goodness, or Rollins. You know, there's so many possibility there. But we have to, you know what, they're all on the contract with AEW. That's just fantasy booking. Until I see that there's an official statement that they've been released, you know, and they've been fired, then I can hear that WWE signed them. That's when I'm going to believe it. Remember, also, Cody Rhodes is in WWE. You know, Cody Rhodes and the Bucks were the reasons why AEW was born. They had a vision. They had an idea. And they found a mark with money. They found a mark, a fan who has a lot. It was a billionaire willing to front and do their business here. So they have a lot to do with AEW. And it'll be interesting where the Elite goes, where they end up. But all in all, that is my review this Saturday evening with the SmackDown and the AEW report. I am BX Sports Jedi Kev. Remember, hit like and subscribe. Also, we have our catch rate. If you ain't down with the Heal the Ring podcast, we have two words for you. Just subscribe. Remember, get over in life. Do not get pinned. Always, always, always pin the competition and never tap out in life. We'll see you next time.
I'm awesome! You people!
So mad, there's no control.
Ladies and gentlemen, just in case you live under a rock,
I might grab a bat. I don't know, my rap, my blood boils overnight. Oh God, here goes. I lost all feeling from my head to my toes. You said some shit that I can't let go, so just stay tuned for the rest of the show.
So have you ever felt betrayed? Switches how you see things. Realize something needs change. Cause I know you got me fucked up. Let me show you why.